On today's special edition of The Connection, Skip Heitzig talks with author and apologist Ron Rhodes.
God gave human beings, as well as Lucifer, a free will. A free will is a good thing. I've never seen anybody carrying a big sign saying, down with free will, back to bondage. I've never seen that. Free will is a good thing, but you know, human beings have abused it, and it's that abuse that has caused all the bad stuff that we see in the world today. Unfortunately, people are blaming God for that gift of free will.
There's a light that shines from the world to see. It's the light of Christ set for you and me. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Reveals himself.
Welcome to this special First Friday edition of The Connection with Skip Heitzig. We're going to take a short break from our current series, The Edge of Eternity, for a chat with Dr. Ron Rhodes. Many of you have probably heard of Dr. Rhodes, as he's written many books and is one of the premier apologists of our day. He's the president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries, and his latest book warns of a possible threat that very few today are even aware of. We'll let Skip and Dr. Rhodes get their conversation started here in just a moment. But first, we wanted to share with you a free gift. If you've never taken the time to call or write us here at The Connection, we'd like to encourage you to do that today. And for everyone who gets in touch with us for the first time, we have a free booklet from Skip to send you called Thoughts of Thanksgiving. Just a small way we can thank you for taking the time to contact us. So call 1-800-922-1888. Mention that it's your first time to do so, and we'll send you that free booklet. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Well, today here on The Connection, we're going to cover areas where Christians need to be wise, educated, and ready to defend what they believe, as Skip Heitzig talks with Dr. Ron Rhodes on this special First Friday edition of The Connection.
Take the time.
So now, let's go in studio with Skip Heitzig and Dr. Ron Rhodes.
Dr. Rhodes, first of all, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. It's always a delight to hear from someone who's got all the answers.
Well, I don't know if I have all the answers, but you know, it's a life goal. I've been studying the scriptures for a long time, and Christian apologetics is really the love of my life. And so I just delight in being able to share some of these answers with God's people.
Well, Dr. Rhodes, first of all, let's just talk about that word apologetics. A lot of people hear that and they go, am I supposed to be sorry for something? What does apologetics mean?
Well, that's a good question. It actually comes from a Greek word, apologia, which means defense. And so apologetics focuses on the defense of Christianity. And I think it's real important today because, as you know, Skip, there's many Christians today who seem to be secret agent Christians who have never blown their cover, if I might put it that way. And apologetics gives you the boldness to blow your cover.
Hmm.
In other words, the more you study apologetics, the more comfortable you become in talking with other people about the faith. And, you know, I think that's really important because a lot of people think that apologetics is only about providing answers to other people.
Mm-hmm.
It is true that it gives you strong answers to share your faith, but first and foremost, apologetics strengthens your own faith.
Mm.
It makes you convinced of what you believe from the Bible. And once you're firmly convinced of what you believe in the Bible, it's pretty easy to transition into sharing that faith with other people.
Hmm, boy, you know, you nailed it, because I remember when I was in my early college days and I was being barraged by my science professors about why they believed what they believed and why Christianity was a farce. And it wasn't until I got a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
Oh, yes.
And I got sort of, you know, keyed up on that. And then I went back to work bold. I was looking for people to talk to.
Well, you know, I read that same book. It's funny how many people have been touched by that book in some way. And, of course, in recent years, they've done an update of that book, which is very, very helpful.
Yes.
But, you know, God calls each one of us, not just ministers and pastors, but each one of us, to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And, you know, when you think about it, Skip, each one of us has a circle of influence. You know, not everybody's on the radio, but we all have neighborhoods we live in. A lot of us go to work, and you meet people at work, or maybe you're caring for a child at the park. You know, whatever it is, we all have a circle of friends and acquaintances with whom we can use our apologetic skills to communicate the message. And so that's the exciting thing. You know, this is not something that's for Christian professionals, per se, but rather it's for all people. And in fact, I'll tell you a little motto that's made a big impact on me, and it goes this way. A great thinker once said, let him that would move the world first move himself. In other words, it begins with each one of us, and each one of us can be equipped to share the good news.
Ron, what got you first interested in apologetics? What got you involved in this field? You've done this as a whole ministry. When did it first begin?
Well, you know, when I was a young guy, my cousins were Jehovah's Witnesses. And they used to have us over their house all the time to eat meals. And, you know, their goal was to convert us. You know, they tried to convert us to become Jehovah's Witnesses. But we weren't about to become Jehovah's Witnesses because we were solidly entrenched in our liberal Christian church. We were just as lost as a goose. We didn't know what we were doing. And this might sound a little bit strange to you, but what really got my attention was Hollywood. Hollywood, California. That's
really?
Where I met Jesus.
Really?
I did. In fact, I used to be a pretty long-haired guy, and I was in showbiz. I used to be doing all the big television shows out there in Hollywood, like The Tonight Show and Merv Griffin and Mike Douglas and American Bandstand.
Are you serious?
I did Carol Telethon and all of those. And one day backstage, Shirley Boone, who is Pat Boone's wife, was talking about Jesus, and it's the first time I ever saw anybody cry tears of joy because of Jesus. And long story short, I ended up dumping Hollywood, going to seminary, and I've been serving the Lord ever since. But I've naturally gravitated towards apologetics, I think, not only because of my early upbringing in liberal Christianity and my connection with my cousins who are Jehovah's Witnesses, but it just seems like there were so many people challenging the faith. And so, I read Walter Martin's book on the Kingdom of the Cult,
yep.
And little did I know that one day Walter would actually hire me to work with him.
That's right. I do remember that. I had Walter speak out here, and I became pretty close with him before he went to heaven. And I do remember you did work, so you work for Christian Research Institute.
Well, that's right. I actually went out there to work on the journal because I was very interested in publishing. You know, I felt like God had called me into that area. And then 6 months later, Walter went to be with the Lord. And so at that time, I literally got drafted to do the Bible Answer Man show. And so I did that show for about 8 years. And I was initially resistant because who wants to go on the radio every day and get asked hard questions? But eventually I grew to like it, and I really enjoyed helping God's people. And in fact, that ministry has just continued through the years. And so, as each year has passed, I have felt the need to really help God's people. And in fact, I might just tell you this, Skip, about my general policy in writing books. I don't write books to sell, a lot of copies. I don't write books because I think they're going to sell a million or anything like that. I always write books for one goal, and that is to help the body of Christ in any way that I can become stronger in their commitment to the Bible. Whether that's writing a book about the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Muslims or whoever else, in any way I can, my goal is to help the body of Christ. And so that's really the burden that God's put on my heart.
Being a Christian today isn't easy, is it? In this kind of culture that we have, it seems like spirituality is a smorgasbord, sort of give and take and add what you will. So for people today, for Christians today in this culture, what's the biggest obstacle?
Well, I think personally the biggest obstacle is that we've actually witnessed a foundational shift in the way we think. We've witnessed a foundational shift that has moved away from basing our beliefs on the objective Word of God to instead basing our beliefs on our experiences and our feelings and, you know, subjectivism. We are living in very experiential religious times. And the thing is that experiences can deceive you. You know, just because something feels good or feels right doesn't mean it is right or good. Just to give you one obvious example, high-fat fast food feels right. You know, it sure does taste good, doesn't it?
Yes.
But it's not good for you. In fact, it's bad for you. And, you know, even the false religions and the cults that are out there, they always claim to have feelings and experience to support all of their deviant theology. And for that reason, we need something that's a lot more objective.
Hmm.
And that's why apologetics is necessary, because we need to get people to see that we need God's Word. It's really the only true barometer of truth that we have today. Or I might put it this way. It's the only compass that we have that objectively points north toward the truth.
Hmm.
And so, you know, the most important thing we as Christians need to do is to return to the Word of God as the basis of all we do. And Skip, I might mention to you that people who ignore the Bible or don't read the Bible but still attend church, boy, they're really robbing themselves when you think about it. Because the Bible is not only the only place to get an objective and true worldview, but it's also the source of blessing. Reading the Word of God is what strengthens your faith, and obeying the Word of God brings God's blessing. And so if you're really out for the good life, it only makes sense to stay in the Word of God.
You just talked about a foundational shift, and you're talking about two very important things. This foundational shift from objective truth to subjectivism, feeling-based, experience-based. Has that shift taken place in churches, in pulpits? Because that seems to be the real danger. It takes place, and people who don't know any better are subjected to it week by week.
Oh, it's happened on a massive level. In fact, the polls indicate that fewer and fewer Christians are actually reading the Bible today. And unfortunately, the people who do read the Bible are those who open the Bible during the sermon. And sometimes the sermon is only 15 minutes long, and if that's the case, people, and Christians in particular, are getting hardly any exposure to the Word of God. And here's the thing, when you think about it, the less exposure you have to the Word of God, the more open you are to spiritual error. And this is one of the reasons why I'm pretty confident in saying that cultic ideas and what you might call aberrant theology has actually penetrated the Christian church. And even Christians today are paying more attention to experience. And I have to say also, I believe that Christians have gotten into mysticism. You know, this idea that you go within, and as you center within and practice what's called contemplative prayer, you basically can hear voices, and you could meet other personalities. You can meet your higher self, for example. You can receive new revelations. You can sense what they call cosmic consciousness, or a sense of oneness with all things. Boy, I really think that's a dangerous place to be. You know, when you reject God's Word and instead get deeply into mysticism, the door is wide open for all kinds of spiritual deception.
Ron, tell us, if you will, how this, what you're talking about, interfaces with this new paradigm called the emergent church.
Well, the emerging church or the emergent church is one of those mixed bags. On the one hand, they do emphasize interesting ways of communicating the truth about God, including skits and good music and overheads and, you know, some of those kind of methodologies. And there's nothing wrong with using that stuff. But at the same time, what we've witnessed in the emerging church is a shift towards mysticism. And some of the primary leaders in the emerging church movement are now saying, for example, that, well, maybe Jesus isn't the only way. Maybe there's a sense of inclusivism in which people can actually come to God on a variety of different paths. Yes, Christianity works for many people, but maybe there are other paths that could be true. And maybe the Bible is not to be interpreted literally, they say. Maybe the conversation about the Bible is more important than the Bible itself.
Right.
And so we've witnessed that mystical shift away from an objective interpretation of the Word of God to more of an idea where we can just dialogue about our own interpretations of the Bible. And everybody's interpretation is said to be legitimate. And so inasmuch as that is part and parcel of the emerging church movement, I think it's dangerous. And here's something that really concerns me. There's actually youth leaders and books being written by youth leaders in leading our teenagers into all of this stuff. I mean, there are books being written for teenagers teaching them how to practice this contemplative prayer and how to center and go within and all this sort of thing. And I guarantee you, we're going to pay for this.
Yeah.
Unless we speak out and help people see the truth about all of this, Christianity will be in dire straits in a couple of years.
The most amazing part of that is that to them it seems, Ron, that the conversation, the talking about truth is more important than it's almost as if there's nothing absolutely true except that there is no absolute truth.
Well, that's right. In fact, that really points to the self-defeating nature of a lot of what goes inside the emerging church. For example, one of the primary emphases is this idea that you can't be certain about anything. But I want you to notice that emerging church leaders seem quite certain in saying that we cannot be certain about anything.
Self-defeating statement.
See, that's a self-defeating statement. Yeah. And that kind of thinking virtually permeates the emerging church movement.
I'm holding a book, and it's a great because it's done as a daily devotional. It's called 5-Minute Apologetics for Today. It's a book that you wrote, and you tackle in this, which is great because you do it so it's spread out over a year. But you include some pretty hot topics in there. I mean, from absolute truth, what we're talking about, abortion, the nature of evil, how it exists, how can a good God allow it, war, and if Christians can support war. Of all the things, of all the controversial issues, of all of the questions that people have, where do you get most of the questions about?
You know, I think the number one issue would have to be this issue of the problem of evil. Hmm. This is the number one issue that atheists raise against Christianity, not just atheists in general, but especially the new atheists. Hmm. These are the more aggressive atheists that are shouting down Christians. But even Christians are concerned about this. You know, George Barna did a poll, and in the poll, people were told, if you could ask God one question, just one question, what would it be? And by an overwhelming margin, the number one issue was, why is there so much evil in the world? And I'm sure you remember, Skip, how when Stephen Curtis Chapman's young child was run over and died, this was a question that really came to the forefront of God's people because, you know, why do bad things happen to good people like Stephen Curtis Chapman? And so I think that is a potent question, and a lot of people think that there's no answer to it. I believe there is an answer to it, and that's why I devote several pages in this book to answering the problem of evil from a Christian perspective. Hmm. And among the many things I talk about is the reality that free will ties into this big time. God gave human beings, as well as Lucifer, a free will. A free will is a good thing. I've never seen anybody carrying a big sign saying, down with free will, mm-hmm. back to bondage. I've never seen that. Free will is a good thing, but you know, human beings have abused it, and it's that abuse that has caused all the bad stuff that we see in the world today. Unfortunately, people are blaming God for that gift of free will. You know what that's like? That's like Henry Ford making that Model T car, which back then was a great car, and then somebody getting drunk, driving that car, and then, after they have a wreck and hurt somebody, they blame Henry Ford for creating that Model T.
Yeah.
How fair is that?
Good analogy. And people blaming Henry Ford for every accident since.
That's exactly right. And we've taken the attention off the people who deserve the blame, and that's you and me.
Mm-hmm.
We are fallen in sin. But, you know, I always like to tell people, just because God has not dealt with the problem definitively yet, doesn't mean he's not going to. In fact, stay tuned for the second coming of Christ.
Exactly.
Because following the second coming, I guarantee you, Skip, there's not going to be anybody saying that God has not effectively dealt with the problem of evil.
That's great. That's a good way to frame it. I have one last question for you, Ron, because it's a book that you put out recently called Cyber Meltdown, and about the threat of terrorism against our electronic communications network. Would you just tell us a little bit about why you wrote this book? Of all the books you've written, this is fascinating to me.
Well, I wrote this book because I like to keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening in our culture, and I think that this issue should be of relevance to every person, Christian and non-Christian. Did you know that cyber attacks are becoming increasingly frequent in our own culture? In fact, over a billion times each and every month, our Senate computers, at our own Senate, are attacked by foreign governments. Did you know that embassies are spied on by foreign governments? There are foreign governments who can tap into the microphone as well as the webcam camera in your computer to spy on what's going on in embassies around the world.
So are these hackers around the world?
Well, these are professional hackers hired by governments. In fact, several hundred of our governments around the world now have cyber command centers for the purpose of cyber attacks against other countries. And in fact, our own government, the United States, has spent virtually hundreds of millions of dollars building up our cyber command center. Skip, I don't know if you remember this about a month ago, but our own present government, our president, said, if any country launches a cyber attack against us that does damage to our infrastructure, all options are on the table, including sending in the Marines with tanks and bazookas and real weaponry.
My.
In other words, somebody might attack us electronically, but we might respond with bombs.
See, it sounds so American, doesn't it?
It's supposed to be a threat, you know.
Right.
But the problem is, in our modern culture, it's difficult to even figure out who attacked you in cyberspace. So I'm not sure how much of a threat that's going to be.
And you talk about this paving the way to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. What do you
mean?
Well,
that's right. You know, just to give you one example of what I'm talking about there, the Scripture reveals that in the tribulation period, the Antichrist and the false prophet will control the world economy. They will control who can buy or sell. That necessarily demands that we have a cashless society.
Mm-hmm.
As long as people are still using dollar bills, there will always be some people willing to accept dollar bills. The only way for the government to control absolutely the world economy is in a cashless society, and that is exactly where we are headed today. In fact, did you know that the amount of cash we are using today is precisely half of that used back in the 1970s?
No kidding.
Yeah, and did you know that over 70% of all financial transactions today are cashless?
No, wow. You know,
and in 5 years, according to the CEO of the Visa Card Corporation, in 5 years, it is likely that you will have to pay a surcharge whenever you try to use cash at a store. So that's where we're headed. You know, even on the airlines, they're going to tell you that we're cashless. You got to buy your sandwich with a credit card. You know, and so, I wrote this book not only to warn people about what's going on in cyberspace, but also to connect it with biblical prophecy. I think it's fascinating.
Yes, that cyber meltdown, and we want people to know about that. Ron, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for this interview. Thank you for contributing to Christians around the world and their growth by the solid books you put out.
Well, thanks so much, Skip, and I also want to thank you for being one of the few pastors out there willing to take a strong stand for apologetics and sponsor the kind of conference that's coming up very soon.
We look forward to it and look forward to hearing you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Well, thanks, Skip and Dr. Rhodes, and thank you for joining us for this special First Friday edition of The Connection. Now, we didn't quite get to everything that was covered during this conversation, but you can hear the interview in its entirety when you visit connectionradio.org. Or for a copy of it, you can also call 1-800-922-1888. Now, before we go, we talked a lot today about how Christians can better equip themselves, and not just getting more information, but also through deepening our relationship with Christ. Lenya Heitzig has some new Bible studies that can help with that, and here's how to pick up a copy for yourself.
Water. It's one of the building blocks of life. 70% of our planet is covered by water. 60% of the human body consists of water. Without water, there would be no life. Perhaps that's why water played such a key role in the life of Moses. He was drawn out from the water. God used him to turn the River Nile into blood, to part the Red Sea, and to bring water from a rock in the middle of a desert. In the new study, Live Reflectively, you'll explore how water sprinkled throughout Moses' life refreshed and redirected him, and how the living water of God's Spirit can do the same in your life. Order Live Reflectively from Lenya Heitzig, along with Live Abundantly, for just $30. Plus, we'll also include four new refresh booklets from Lenya. Get it all for just $30. Let the water of God's Word awaken new life in you. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, we look forward to hearing from you, and remember to mention if it's your first time to contact us so we can send you that free booklet from Skip. Just call us at 1-800-922-1888. Or you could also write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. That's going to wrap up our time for today, but we'll resume our series, The Edge of Eternity, next time here on The Connection.
Take the time.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.